Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello, it's Thursday, the 18th of April. I'm Alex von Tunzelman and I love the smell of Tory sleaze in the morning. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day we take the brakes off and freewheel through the British press, grabbing the best bits and trying not to crash headfirst into a wall. You, yes, you, can help keep Paper Cuts going. Just send three of your mates a text, WhatsApp or email linking them to papercutsshow.co.uk. There's a link you can copy in the show notes. Every single person who listens and subscribes helps us keep bringing you the best bits of the papers every weekday. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Menzies in a frenzy, getting wild on the Fylde. Mark Menzies, Tory MP for Fylde, accused of misusing campaign funds to pay bad people. No thanks, I'm celibate. Celebrities are talking about sex and now no one wants to have it anymore. And trust no one. The Daily Mail warns your skint mates might secretly be rich. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we've all crashed out of Europe this morning. I'm Alex von Tunzelman, and with me today is Podmaster Supremo and Cool Cat Andrew Harrison.
Good morning.
And also with me is political sketchwriter, satirist and hot diggity dog Rob Hutton.
Hello.
Rob, what are the broadsheet front pages looking like today?
Right, The Guardian's got a big picture of it being wet in Dubai, and the headline is Brexit blamed as UK drug shortages put lives at risk. Look, people knew what they were voting for, okay?
Right? Yes, thrombosis and death. Yes. So,
The Eye has more cheer. Israel will defy plea for restraint and strike Iran, Cameron reveals. Let's go to the Daily Telegraph, where they have got the world's most important news story, dominating two-thirds of their front page. Rayner faces new homes tax question. I mean, a story that literally nobody understands.
Or cares about.
About a tiny tax that I think you could stop 1,000 people in the street and none of them would have known that you had to pay capital gains tax if you and your partner both bought a house to a marriage and the sums involved are tiny. The most amazing thing about this is a dozen strong police team are investigating Rayner, apparently, for something where we've basically established that there's no way that even if she were guilty of sin, she could be charged because it's all of these, because these are all minor offences that sort of expire. I'm not saying that being guilty would be good. I'm just saying I'm glad that there are no crimes for the police to investigate. But yes, so there's nothing for the police to do. There are no crimes going on anywhere. And that brings me neatly to The Times. Tory MP demanded thousands of pounds from party aides.
Oh.
A Conservative MP is under investigation over allegations that he misused campaign funds and abused his position in making a late night phone call saying he had been locked up by bad people. I'm just reading it, okay? By bad people who were demanding thousands, it's a very important story, who were demanding thousands of pounds, The Times can reveal. I mean,
it's a heck of a story.
It's a great story. Thank you, The Times.
We will come back to it at probably appalling length later. And Andrew, how about the tabloids? What have we got there?
Well, the Mail's very interesting because they've been hammering this nothing burger Rayner story for days and days and days. And it seems to have evaporated. Instead, they've gone with Tories trail Labour on defence, tax, migration, Even Brexit.
Brexit.
Exclusive poll for Mail finds 45% still don't want the Starmer government. This is a very interesting mega poll here by Lord Ashcroft, Blofeld of British politics, who seems to be behind everything at the minute. They splashed on this exclusive Jason Gross political editor. When you get into it, it's really fascinating on the inside, the detail. They've gone pie chart crazy, haven't they, Rob? Preferred PM, Keir Starmer 34%, Rishi Sunak 19%. British values, who represents the most? Labour Party 31%. 1%, Conservative Party 13%.
Cool.
And it looks like in the immortal words of Britney Spears, they're toxic, they're slipping under. Anything associated with the Tory party is now so bad that even the Daily Mail doesn't want to be associated with them. So that's exciting on the front of the Mail. Also, The Sun has, in its ongoing campaign to run away from anything you could call real news, has Harry and Meghan in yet another Megxit. American Idol, Harry, that's Idol with an I-D-L-E.
See what they've done there.
Prince is officially a US resident. Now he's cut all ties with Britain, although I can see he's wearing a tie, so, you know, get your facts right. Prince Harry has officially registered himself as an American citizen, cutting ties with the UK. But you hate him, shouldn't you be happy about this?
I mean, yeah,
this?
Exactly. Don't you want him to go away? No, absolutely. Because you actually need him on your paper every day.
I mean, he is an American resident, right?
Yeah, but he's like...
What happens...
It's just this company house file, so it's
front
just like
page news.
Opportunity to put the boot in. The Star, thank God for The Star, proud to love animals. Celeb zoo boss admits escaped big cats do walk among us. And if you see one, don't run. Celeb zoo boss Ben Mee, never heard of you, says escaped big cats like pumas are rumi. Or is it just a fat tabby?
It is. I mean, you look at, they've got two pictures of what is quite clearly a domestic
cat. It's just
cat.
A big fat,
I mean,
domestic
cat. They're just big cats.
It's just right, a just large
cats.
Domestic
yeah, large cat.
Big, large
cat. There's big cats and there's large cats.
Exactly.
There's like, it's a tiger, it will eat you, and there's, it's just a chunk and it likes
exactly.
whiskers.
That just is a big hungry cat.
It's a big nothing cat, big burger of a cat. And also The Star, again, terrible news priorities. Page 9, it's the end of Earth. On page 9. So there are 8 pages of things more important than the end
exactly.
of the
world. Including large cats yep. being in public. Yeah, I mean, really. Now, Conservative MP Mark Menzies has lost the party whip, pending an investigation into allegations he misused campaign funds. That might sound a bit boring, but this is a pretty wild story, isn't it, Rob? What's been alleged here? What's going on?
Right. I mean, first thing to say, I, veteran political correspondent that I am, if you had shown me a picture of Mark Menzies, say, 12 hours ago, I could not have told you. I mean, I would have guessed that he might be a Conservative MP, but I'm looking at this guy. Does he exist? Is he real?
You know,
AI prompt for, you know, sort of middle-aged Tory MP. And this is just one of these stories that's just weird and, you know, some things... weird. He seems to have been using campaign funds to pay off, quote, bad people who had, quote, locked him in a flat in the middle of the night.
Right.
He seems to have done this more than, well, he's done that once. He's also used campaign funds to pay medical expenses, unspecified. We're not entirely convinced that the medical expenses exist. We wonder whether the bad people might have had, there may have been other things that are going on.
There's a lot happening.
There is
not
an
happening
awful
here,
lot
right?
happening in this story. It is interesting that the Conservative Party has apparently known about this for a couple of months and has only acted on by sheer coincidence. Last night, when the Times story dropped, was the moment that the Conservative Party suspended the whip from him.
Right. Oh, amazing. Wow.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those things.
Their
investigation had sort of reached its crisis point. Now that I know about Mark Menzies, let me tell you some other things that Mark Menzies has done over there. He was one of David Cameron's A-listers. These were going to be the top shoot the lights out, people we need in Parliament types who were elected in 2010. And he was a rising star. Until he appeared on the front page of the Sunday Mirror. Tory MP quits in drugs and rent boy scandal. Sunday Mirror investigation. Except that he didn't quit. He's hung on in Parliament.
Right. And when was that?
That was...
2014, wasn't it?
That was 2014. That was a little while ago.
Was it 10 years ago?
When they said Tory MP quits, did they mean Tory MP quits drugs and rent boys for a bit?
No, it's not clear whether he quit drugs and rent boys. He didn't quit as a Tory MP. Okay. He may have quit. He did quit a ministerial sort of ladder job and seems to have disappeared into obscurity. He next sort of pops up when he is questioned by police over allegations that he had got a friend's dog drunk. Sounds
what?
Funny. It sounds funny.
No, it's
badly.
Thing.
You shouldn't.
Really
don't get your friend. No. Kids, don't get dogs drunk. It's really bad for
I'm
them.
Definitely not advocating that. I'm just kind of laughing in kind of horror at like, who is this
poor
guy?
Poor old dog had out there booze, alcohol poisoning.
I mean, really?
He's a booze hound.
Oh.
You do just think at some point, really, really the Conservatives, maybe, you know, maybe some people shouldn't be MPs.
I mean, there's one or two clues about character here, really, aren't there? Like, I mean, I realise this stuff probably isn't illegal. I don't know, getting a dog drunk probably isn't.
I think it probably is getting a dog.
It might be illegal. Yeah.
That might have been illegal.
I mean, it's not advisable, is it?
Yeah, he hasn't. He is. Menzies, who, so far as we know, has never been convicted of any crime.
There we go.
We could say at this point, though, you know, there are some interesting questions to be asked about the thousands of pounds that have moved from campaign funds
to bad people.
I just love the Times has absolutely gone to town on this. It is a tour de force, and it's just what we want from our newspapers. Two-page spread on the inside. It begins, "The phone call came in the dead of night. Are you on your own?" the man said with urgency in his voice. "I've got in with some bad people and they've got me locked in a flat and they want £5,000 to release me." Is that a scandal or is it an escape room? Who even knows? And it gets better. I mean, when you've got the crosshead, sex, drugs and a drunk dog, you know you're into quality here. There's also fantastic detail. There's a discussion of a drunken incident at the last night of the Proms concert featuring Catherine Jenkins in Lytham Hall last August. One attendee said the MP started kicking the chairs and poking the people in the front row, creating a disturbance for ticket holders. He was spoken to by security. He appeared to be heavily intoxicated by the end of the concert. A source close to the MP acknowledged that he had too much to drink, but he hadn't poked anybody and may have done it by accident while waving a flag. Patriotic.
I mean, that's basically Brexit, isn't it?
Yeah. I wasn't drunk. I was just waving a flag.
Officer, you know who I am.
I mean, this guy sounds like an absolute liability. How on earth has he hung on for 10 years after all of this?
Well, put it this way. I mean, obviously, sadly, podcasts are in audio format, so the listeners can't see the picture of Menzies with Boris Johnson, where Boris Johnson's facial expression said, "How the fuck did I get stuck with this guy?" What? Boris Johnson looks like he wants to, like,
run. Hey, they're not going to use this photo against me.
I was never there. It was AI Photoshop.
It's like a proper 1,000-yard stare on Boris.
No, there is a serious quality control issue with MPs.
Well, I just want to read out my favourite comment on this today. It comes from the great Jeremy Noel Todd, a poetry critic and editor, who has written on Blue Sky, a version of The Plums in the Icebox. "I have spent the funds that were in the local Tory bank account and which we were probably saving for an election. Forgive me. Bad men locked me in a flat." Well done, Jeremy. Great work. Now, there are a load of stories about sex in the papers today, and all of them are making us never want to do it again. First up, we've got Danny Dyer's new documentary, How to Be a Man. What are the Telegraph saying about this, Andrew?
Well, the Telegraph's reliable "What About the Poor Men" columnist, Michael Deacon, he seems to write the same column every day, is looking at the documentary, and his "Men Are in Crisis, So Found Danny Dyer in Tuesday Night in How to Be a Man." Michael Deacon's argument is that sex equality has been great for women, what a disaster for men. And he seems to be saying that, things used to be so much easier for a chap to get a date, but now these women have sort of got themselves all independent with jobs, and now it's really, really hard for men to get a date, and that's the real issue.
It's
very sad. A few generations ago, such men would have had it much easier. A steady job and a reasonably recent wash would have been enough to qualify them as eligible bachelors. I think you had to try a little bit harder than that.
But also, it totally still is. Have you seen all the people around that have got marriages and girlfriends? A lot of them haven't even had that wash.
I know, yeah. He's trying to relate it as well to the alleged crisis in Western civilization. Over the past half century, Western birth rates have plummeted for one reason above any other. We made our societies fairer. The only countries with high birth rates these days just happen to be ones where women have fewer opportunities in life. Well, you know...
Yeah, do we we're not a baby-making factory.
Let's reorganise. Let's take our societies back 100 years so that you, Michael, are not worried about a lack of babies. Maybe you and Miriam Cates can go make an argument for it.
Gross. Don't go make babies. Yuck. So then in the iPaper, we've got Papercut's fave, Kate Lister, telling us she's accidentally on strike from sex, men, marriage and kids. Maybe she read Michael Deacon. Rob, can you go on strike by accident?
I mean, they're sort of describing parts of my career, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, this is the counterpoint argument, which is South Korea, not in fact a fantastically equal society, also quite hard for young men to get laid, it turns out, because young women have just had enough. they're refusing to marry, which is bihon. I apologise to anyone who speaks Korean at this point. They're refusing to marry, which is bihon, have children, bichulsan, date, bionai, or have sex. Bisexu. This is known as the 4B movement.
Right.
And apparently it's growing. But the thing about South Korea is, let me just read you one random sentence from this. To give you an idea of the pressure women in Korea are under to look perfect at all times, in 2018, a news anchor made national headlines for being the first woman in Korean history to want to guess, wear glasses on TV.
Oh.
Maybe the problem isn't equality.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of stuff in this story about, like, the attitudes of Korean men, isn't there? Which makes me think, like, you know, I'm not really surprised these South Korean women are not, like, banging on their doors. It's like, you know, according to one poll, 58.6% of men in their 20s strongly oppose feminism, with 25.9% grading the intensity of their opposition as a 12 on a scale of 0 to 12. Like, that's the flip side of this story, isn't it? It's like massive misogyny amongst young people. And that is, you know...
I mean, it is a bit off-putting if you're trying to date someone absolutely loathing you on a fundamental level.
Young lads who are listening, hot dating tip, try not to be a foaming misogynist. Maybe, you know, kind of a turn-off to the ladies.
Maybe totally hating them. Isn't that endearing?
Find a nice girl and treat her right.
Finally, The Telegraph have launched an open threat to all our libidos. Their new sex columnist, who they're exhorting you to go to for advice on shagging, is Rachel Johnson. If I had a sex problem I needed to talk to Rachel Johnson about, I really would have a sex problem.
Do you think she's going to get lots of letters from a Mr. Joris Bonson of Oxfordshire? I've got children all over the place. What should I do about it? I can't keep control of little Boris. Little Joris, little Joris.
On Paper Cuts, a pun is a joke without a punchline. It's the headlines of the day. What do you have for us, Andrew?
Well, I've got a full set from The Sun, whatever else you might think about it, and we've all got thoughts about The Sun. It is pretty much top of the headline game. We mentioned the story of Prince Harry and Meghan with their US residency as the front page. Well, their inside story, they've gone for a full page on it, expanding yet more on this tiny, tiny little bit of information. Gigantic picture of Meghan and him in his kind of zip up top. And the headline is, "Bore in the USA." Ha ha ha, do you say? Airing another grievance. Ha ha, do you say?
I mean, yes. If he's so boring, why do they keep writing about him?
Exactly. It does make you think, doesn't it? Yeah. Elsewhere, another... one of the favourites of the paper's cast of characters, Beyoncé. It's, guess what, a gigantic, lovely picture of Beyoncé in her country and western style. The story is a 24% increase in cowboy boot sales since her album was released. Beyoncé's movement in country music has spurred demands for cowboy boots, do you see? Since she released her number one album, Cowboy Carter, last month, sales are up 24%. And the headline is Cowboy Bootylicious.
Oh, I sort of don't mind that.
Pretty impressed by that one. Yeah. And to the sport. Back pages. Both Manchester City and Arsenal were ejected from the Champions League last night under shocking circumstances, particularly Manchester City. Bernardo Silva's shocking penalty miss KO'd Manchester City's hopes of another treble. And the headline is Crash and Burn, haha, as in Bernardo Silva.
Yes. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. Also, while we're here, can I make a special plea to The Star, who are fantastic at headlines, but they have a piece on holidays, and the headline is The Great British Takeoff. Can I please beg for a moratorium on The Great British fill-in-the-blank off? It has been done to death. So we don't want to see any more of it. In fact, we may be issuing red cards in future editions for Great British blank offs.
And Rob, what have you got for us? Let's go back to The Star.
Well, let's go to Brazil.
The
Star, finding the great news wherever it is in the world. A woman has been arrested after she allegedly took her dead uncle into a bank and tried to get him to sign off a £2,500 loan. Honestly, we should just have done this story.
Yeah, I mean, some Weekend at Bernie's stuff going on here.
Indeed, here is a picture of Weekend at Bernie's. The headline is... Corpse and robbers.
That's brilliant.
Outstanding.
Well done. Great story. Great work. All round. Back to big cats on page 11. The UK is full of big cats, but gently chatting to them could save you from a savaging. Apparently
they're just domestic cats.
Because they're not tigers.
Just give them some dreamies. They'll be absolutely fine.
And the headline is, don't be a pussy.
I quite like that. But yeah, bit rude, bit risque. Love it.
And then finally... dressing like a mafia don is now the height of fashion as pinstripe suits make a comeback. And the headline is, good threaders.
A good day from the start. Now, in between the rock of the sports sections and the hard place of the front pages are the feature sections. Welcome to the weird middle. And today is my problematic fave Daily Mail female section, always good if you relish the dark side of human nature. Today's story, trailed on the front page of the whole newspaper, is "My husband and I spent decades subsidising our poor friends. Then we heard they'd bought a second home and a £75,000 Range Rover. So, Andrew, poor people, am I right? They're all just scroungers."
Well, the female. Let's look at the female. It's a wild cross between Next Door, Mum's Net and a Jilly Cooper novel, isn't it? It's like, it is the gigantic fence over which the male's readership leans and goes, state of hair. Yeah. Have you seen what's going on there?
Put yourself together, love.
No better than she ought to be. We spent decades subsidising our, quote, poor friend, and then she bought a second home and a £75,000 Range Rover. This is actually an ITV miniseries in the making. It's a group of friends who grow up together from university, and you know, some of them make a lot of money and some of them make less money, and twist in the tale, turns out the ones who are poor weren't. By anonymous, these things are always by anonymous, aren't they? By something near the top of the Daily Mail writer's head.
This is real.
Definitely.
I'm certain this is real. I love it.
Yeah. These people have been friends since they were 11 years old, and they vowed that they would be friends for life, wherever careers or family took them. Sure enough, for 24 years, the six of us met regularly, husbands and children in tow, even going on group holidays together. Then last spring, a touchy subject tore our little group apart, money, leading to a sense of betrayal and jealousy. Basically, this person is saying that they had downgraded group ski trips, asterisk, who wants to go skiing anyway? It's very expensive. City break staycations, we'd ordered takeaways instead of eating out, all because these friends are not quite as well off. And then they turn up at a gathering last April in a showroom fresh Range Rover that wouldn't have left much change on £75,000. And then they say, also, we've got a second home as an investment. And the writer of this piece, Anonymous, goes nuts. "We felt we'd been hoodwinked all those years pretending they couldn't afford this or that while they were secretly amassing a savings pot containing hundreds of thousands. Or, as the rest of us call it, saving up." That's what it, that's, you know, don't go on a skiing holiday, save up. You might be able to buy the thing that you want. Now, the side of this, of course, is that, like, have they really been subsidising them? Have they been paying their bills? Have they been, I think in the middle of this piece, they actually do cover a hotel room for the scroungers, shall we call them. And I do think that is out of order. But the thing that I find strange about this is it is in Daily Mail universe of three skiing trips a year and let's go to a fancy hotel and sit around drinking white wine the whole time, spending a fortune. And if you're not doing that, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, you're some sort of traitor because you're saving up for a car and a...
I would say this people, anyone who listens to this who's curious about why the Daily Mail is one of Britain's leading newspapers, everything about this is perfect from the bit on the front page that says inside you're going to read this great story and you turn to it and it delivers.
It delivers exactly what it's certain
to totally
thing,
yeah. Delivers the promise of the front page.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's there to generate an argument, isn't it? Particularly amongst like the readers. What do you think? Are they in the right or in the wrong? I mean, there's a bit here. One friend was furious that we'd paid for Rachel's Malta hotel room. Another reminded us that when Rachel and Rob hosted a barbecue a couple of summers earlier, they'd asked everyone to contribute to the cost of food and drink. I think that kind of is a bit out of order. That is a bit on the tight side. But overall, you know, the idea that, you know, directionless, conspicuous consumerism and having to go on enormously expensive friends gatherings all the time, I'm slightly on the side of it.
Basically, my problem is I don't think I would want to be friends with Anonymous because it sounds really expensive. Yeah. It's like... What is worse than somebody you were at school with phoning you up and saying, "Hey, we're going on a lads girls weekend. I just need you to transfer £400 to my bank account to cover." Yeah. I'm middle class. I'm delaying my gratification.
Yeah.
Okay.
also hate group holidays. Really hate them.
Yeah, but the advent of the stag week.
Yeah.
And the hen week.
Gross.
Can't we just go for a couple of pints like normal people would do?
And even that was only invented in like the 1980s, for God's sake. This is all ridiculous stagflation.
It's been ridiculously disinvented now, hasn't it? Because nobody can afford it anymore.
Well, you know, that'll happen. Mm. But yeah, I mean, I think what comes across out of this piece is that, like, honestly, I won't be friends with anyone. They all sound awful.
Yeah.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Andrew Harrison.
Thank you.
Thanks to Rob Hutton.
Thank you.
Don't forget the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Ditch those ads and get more fun from just £3.60 a month. Head over to papercutsshow.co.uk or follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our supporters for helping to make the show today.
Thank you, and oh, Rachel Prest, you came and you gave without taking, but I sent you away.
Thanks a bunch, and oh, Charlotte John, you kissed me and stopped me from shaking.
Thanks, and oh, I need you today, Sarah Parkinson. I need you. I've been Alex von Tunzelman, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when student Rebecca McGonagall was flooded with congratulatory messages after she took a selfie that looked like she was holding a baby. But it turned out she was just hugging her knee. Quite the knee-jerk reaction. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Alex von Tunzelman, with Rob Hutton and Podmasters group editor Andrew Harrison. The producer was Liam Tate, assistant producer was Adam Wright, and audio producer was me, Jade Bailey. Music is by Simon Williams, socials by Kieran Leslie, design by Jim Parrott, with original art by Modern Toss. The executive producer is Martin Boytosh, and the managing editor is Jacob Jarvis. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.